Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast.
Gospel of Luke, looking at chapter 1, we've been talking about the songs of Christmas. Songs of Christmas. And those outside of our local church, I've mentioned to some pastors that I was preaching on Songs of Christmas, and they made the assumption that many would make that we're talking about Christmas carols in the sense of songs that way. And of course, you know that have been here, we're talking about songs that are from the scriptures that in early church history, they took these passages and they put music and melody to these songs and these scriptures, and they sang these songs. And we've already had a message on the song of Zacharias. We've had last week the song of the angels. And today I want us to deal with the song of Mary. The song of Mary, we'll see this unfold for us in here in chapter 1 of Luke, verse 46 through 55, the song of Mary. And I couldn't think of a particular Christmas carol that would really mention a lot of the words that we'll see in this song, but I wanted us to sing another Christmas carol today, much like we did last week. We did Angels We Have Heard on High. Today, I want us to sing together, O Come All Ye Faithful. We're going to sing that first verse and the chorus because what you'll see in the opening lines of Mary's song, she talks about magnifying God, and we'll read it in just a few moments. Talks about magnifying Him, and when I think about O Come All Ye Faithful, O Come Let Us Adore Him, the chorus says. And it just pictures to me, you're magnifying God. You're magnifying Him. And so, as we did before, and now you who are all the singers here in the audience, you're all the choir. When you get to heaven, by the way, all of you will be in the choir. Did y'all know that? Everybody will be in the choir when you get to heaven. So you might as well get warmed up. So just tap the person next to you and say, hey, get ready for the choir. And just clear your voice. All right, here we go. Well, this is just a practice this time, okay? Then we're actually going to do it, okay? Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold Him, born the King of Kings. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. That wasn't bad for rehearsal, was it? All right, now this is serious now. All right. Now, you were already serious in that first song for sure. I saw you as you worshiped Him. But let us magnify the Lord. So would you sing this with me again? Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Bethlehem. Come, hold him, born the of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. So, Father, I pray that you would help us in these moments that we have to focus upon your word and to really turn our attention toward this Christ that we worship and serve today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's all types of named disorders and syndromes in our society today that comes out of the awareness of medical issues and mental health issues that so many face in the world today. One of those is called seasonal affect disorder. And it's something that they've started to identify, at least as there have been so many people that have dealt with depression and other things like that during the seasons like Christmas, as families gather together, and there's certainly people who gather with no one. But they say that they say, you know who they is? Y'all know who they is? None of us know who they is. But they say that 10 million people deal with that every year. And that might be low in terms of, you think about just here in the United States, some 400 million people. I don't know. But what I do know is there is a lot of people who deal with a lot of issues. While we may be enjoying a dessert with family, a meal with family, not everybody is having quite the time that somebody else might be. And we certainly pray, and we trust God, and we ask the Lord to really lift up people's hearts, and for the spirit of heaviness to put on a garment of praise, as the scripture says. And I want to speak to you as a believer today to just let you know that your hope is not in this world. Your hope is centered in Jesus Christ. And what happens to us when we get our eyes on the base and low things of life, that causes us to grow downcast. And so it's not speaking anything against anybody. It's just the reality that if my eyes, my spiritual eyes are focused in the wrong direction, or I'm just out of focus, I'm prone to every syndrome and disease of this world. And so I'm just saying today, lift up your eyes, lift up your head, and put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And because heaviness is a reality for so many, there's so many things that come into play that cause those things. But what I'm saying is, from the depths of who we are, it doesn't mean the situation has changed. It doesn't mean maybe the circumstances have shifted at all, but I want to say, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Lift up your head to the Savior of the world. Lift up your head to him that overcomes. Lift up your head to him who brings peace. Lift up your head to him who will give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Lift up your head to the one who heals. Lift up your head to the one who delivers. Lift up your head to the one who saves today. That's what I want to encourage you to do. So let's go home. I think that's enough. Right? That's enough. That's enough. But we want to go to the scripture today because really we've never had enough until we've have the scriptures because these are the words of life, words of life. And this song in church history has been called the Magnificat. That's the Latin for this song here, and we want to just look here in this passage of scripture, beginning with verse 46 of Luke 1. It says, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." Verse 51, "He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." Here, as we look at Mary, and just a quick profile of Mary. Mary is a young maiden. Some believe perhaps even as young as 13 years old. She is no doubt an individual that somehow garnered the attention of God the Father. Now, what we know is she's a regular 13-year-old in her day, in terms of biologically, in terms of her coming into this world. There have been many who have religious ways have spoken of Mary different than what we believe the scriptures speak of Mary, and have somehow given her some type of labels that speak to her having some God characteristics. But I want to tell you, that's not what the scripture teaches. She is a ordinary young lady, woman. Meaning she's not different than any lady in this room, but God chose her to use her. And I want it's important for us to see that. And we see it confirmed to us in the scripture. When we read of instances when the disciples said that your mother and your siblings want to talk to you, and he was in a crowd of people, he said, "Who is my mother and my brothers and sisters except they that do the will of the Father?" What he's letting us know is my mama, she is fully human in every way. And she is not a God person. But Jesus, different than that. He was fully God, yet fully man. And so we don't put Mary in any way on the same line with Jesus today. But it's important for us to certainly call her blessed and highly favored, because that's what the scripture does. He calls her blessed and highly favored. But I will say this, and there's something we need to learn from today, because there was something about Mary. Something about Mary. I don't know how she was raised, but but it is very apparent that she was raised in a way in which she had developed a strong relationship with God. I believe that for sure. She had learned that God could be trusted and God was faithful. She had learned that. In fact, in this song, it lets me know that Mary loved the scripture. This is how I know. Because there is at least 10 passages of scripture that are quoted by Mary in this song. There's pieces and sections of Old Testament scripture that are there that lets me know that the scriptures were important and she loved the Word of God. In fact, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, we have the prayer of one Hannah in the Old Testament who was barren and desired to have a child and was desperate and cried out to God. And we have a song of Hannah written for us in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And it's amazing when you read 1 Samuel chapter 2 and you read here the song of Mary, there are sections of it that sound very similar. That lets me know that that Mary was in tune with the scriptures, and also it lets me know that the Holy Spirit was overshadowing it all as she prayed that prayer. The Holy Spirit was working and bringing those things up in her remembrance, because holy men and women of God, this scriptures were written as the Holy Spirit moved upon people to do so. But it's a beautiful thing. She was a lover of scripture. But also we learned that she is she just loved God. She just loved God. I mean, without question, she had a love for him that was certainly unparalleled in any way. I mean, it's just, she loved him. And no, I noticed that because in verse 38, before the song, it says, she said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Listen, only people who love God are saying, "I want to be aligned with the will of God. May it be unto me in accordance with your word, O God." So we're talking about Mary who loved the scripture. We're talking about Mary who was a lover of God and was concerned with being in the will of God. That should be a lesson for us. We that want to be used by God, we need to be a lover of the word of God, and we need, certainly beyond that, we need to be a lover of God, who is the God of the Word, amen? And that I want His will to be accomplished in me. And so there's just something about Mary, no doubt about that. And she certainly, God saw in her someone who could be trusted with his son, could be trusted with this that would be conceived in her by the Holy Spirit. He could trust her because the Word was going to indwell within her, because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and the Word was inside of her. She was impregnated with the Word of God. And so we praise the Lord for this. So as we look at Mary here, we also know that not only did she learn and that God could be trusted, and she had learned that he was faithful, but she also made choices. She also had made choices in her life. In fact, verse 27, she's referred to as a virgin. verse 34. In it says, she knew no man. She had kept herself in purity. As a young lady, she had kept herself pure. She had kept herself for God's purposes. She was a candidate for being used by Him for this special purpose, even after being engaged, espoused to Joseph. She kept herself pure in her, in terms of any relationship she would have with another man. She kept herself pure. We see this in the scriptures. I believe it's maybe 2 Timothy chapter 2. We see where purity is so important for us and our being used by God. And we see it throughout the scripture. But I want to tell you that this Mary, she had kept herself pure, had been obedient to the scriptures, and had made herself, she was a candidate for being used by God, though had no clue that this was what it was for. She was just concerned with being pure before God. Concerned. And then we just see that she understood that the child that she would give birth to and that she was impregnated with, she understood who this child was because the angel said, verses 30 through 33, had told her that she had found favor with God and that she would bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and over his kingdom there shall be no end. Think about it. Mary knew terminology before anybody else did. She was hearing about who this son was, and she was well aware at this point, as she heard the angelic message of who it was that she was impregnated with. Now, this had to be mind-boggling now. I'm not talking about of somebody with a halo on their head. We're talking about Mary, who was born like you and I were born. We're talking about someone who got up every day and had to walk this thing out and live it out, how God was using her. And I want to tell you, you and I need to live our life in a way that we can be a candidate to be used by God for His purposes in accordance with His will in our life. We need to think about it like that. We don't need to just look and go, well, oh, she was just special. That's why that could happen. No, no, no. God is telling us, yes, she was highly favored, but that favor came because of the things that had already developed in her life. And I want to tell you, if you and I will love the Lord accordingly, and if you and I will take His word and desire to live in obedience to it accordingly, and we walk out this thing in purity and in the forgiving power of God, you and I are candidates to be used by Him today. But we thank God. We thank God for how He used Mary. Now, there's two stanzas or verses to this song. And the first stanza, I'll give the title this: Undeserved Grace. Undeserved Grace. So verses 46 through 50 is the first stanza, and we'll just call it Undeserved Grace. Now, when I say that, I really am saying the word undeserved is basically the same. It's defining grace. When I say undeserved grace, it's kind of like you're saying the same thing twice, because grace is the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. And we note here in the scripture that she has been favored by God, highly favored. But the truth of the matter is, in Christ Jesus, all of us are people that have experienced grace, undeserved grace. So here, beginning with verse 46, we read this word here, and it's talking about 46 through 50, undeserved grace. Now, and when we think about this undeserved grace, and I just want to read down through here, verse 47, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Now, I hope this really stands out to you today, that Mary realized, verse 47, that she needed a Savior. That this child that she was going to give birth to was not only the Savior of the world, but He would be her Savior. Again, understanding the nature of Mary, that she understands that this child is from God. This child is the Savior of the world. And all of us are in need of the Savior. Mary's telling us, y'all, even though this is my youngin' that I'm gonna have, I need him to be my Savior. It's incredible, powerful thing. I don't want us to miss there, because in all of our Christmas stuff, you know, we got the angel on top of the tree and they got a halo on the angel. She don't have a halo. We got to keep that in mind. Mary didn't have a halo. She didn't have just some special touch where things just were easy for her. She had to walk this thing out in a world that would ridicule her. And they would say all manner of evil against her, and they were gonna say things about her because she was gonna be pregnant, and yet had never known a man, according to the word. So again, we see this grace that has been extended to her, though. This grace, and this same grace is extended to us. The Savior of the world has come, and He's come to save us from our sins. This is so important for us to grab hold of and not allow this message at Christmas to escape us. This is why He came. This is why He came. This is why He came. It's to save His people from their sins. He came into this world and was born to die for the sins of all humanity, to shed His blood for the sins, our sins, that we be forgiven, that all people have be forgiven if they'd simply believe and receive Him. This is why He came, and Mary understood it. Mary understood it. That's verse 47. Verse 48, for He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. Notice that. This grace was extended to her in her lowly state, in her humble state. You see, He exalts the humble. He exalts the humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, Peter said, and He will exalt you. But He came to her in her humble state, in her low estate. And so we see Mary and how God came to her. But I want to, we'd be remiss if we don't say this. In verse 49, she says, "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." She understands that God is distinct above all the gods of this world, little g. But holy is his name. And it is this holy God who is fully righteous and fully good and fully beyond any others that ever have been or ever will be. He is holy is his name. This is the one who looks upon her in her low estate. She most people believe she probably come from a family that was a very poor and a peasant in the world of the language of their day, that she was a peasant, but yet he reached down and said, "I'm going to use you to do the greatest thing that's ever going to happen in this world. I'm going to use you to do that." And so in her low estate as a human being in this world, God chose to use her. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. Luke chapter 14, verse 11 says that he exalts the humble, but it also says he humbles those who exalt themselves. When we exalt ourselves, he humbles. We'll see that again in just a moment. So, we have undeserved grace extended here. We'll go on reading verse 50. "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." She understood that the actions of God were evidence of his mercy in her life. And so it is that you and I, in Christ Jesus, we've had extended to us mercy today. He's a merciful God. That's why we don't need to think too highly of ourselves. We need to think of the greatness of him who has redeemed us, the greatness of him who has saved us. And so in these few verses, in this first stanza from 46 to 50, we see his undeserved grace in effect. And then when you get to verse 51 through 55, we get to see how that our God begins to turn everything around in our life, and he turns the values of this world upside down. The values of the world are not necessarily God's values. And we get caught up in this life of being too focused on what the world values instead of what God values. And we get sucked into it. We can find ourselves a lot of the anxiety of this life is because we're focused on what the values that the world has, that we've allowed to creep in to be a value for ourselves. And when God is saying, "No, turn that table over. So we see in this passage how that our God, he has rescuing power. So to define the second stanza, call it rescuing power. Because we need God to rescue us out of the control and manipulation of the values of this world. And there are things that certainly I want just to, us to remember that it's kind of like this. We understand that money is of value in this world, right? We also understand that God knows that money is valuable in this world. But we, if we're not careful, we'll view it the wrong way, because the scripture says the love of money is the root of all evil, not money, because that's just part of living. That's just part of exchanging. But the love of it is the root of all evil. And do you see how easily the enemy can change things for us? You know that you need to earn a wage. You know that you need to have a good job. We know we need to do all that. But if we're not careful, we'll get shifted just slightly, and then all of a sudden it'll begin to control a lot of our life, because we're focused and we've fallen in love. That's why we got to maintain balance. We've got to understand that and walk as the Paul told the Ephesian church. We need to walk circumspectly, like an acrobat. We're to walk in balance, circumspectly, because this is the tough thing in a world where values of the world and the values that God has told us as Christians we are to have, they're in conflict. But yet we understand that these things, there are many of these things are just a matter that we've got out of balance, right? It's just out of balance. You know, there's things that we enjoy. Jesus was out on the boat and rode a boat there in the Galilean Sea. Just to give an example. He rode a boat. But if the boat becomes something that keeps me from God, then I got out of balance. You see what I'm saying? I heard it said this way. The devil don't care which side of the boat you fall off on, as long as you fall off. That's the reason. That's one of the ways you have to consider legalism and tradition, those kind of things. He don't care if you fall out being liberal with your life or fall out being so conservative that you become legalistic and think it's you that's holding everything together. Because I want to tell you, it's God who saved you, it's God who will keep you. It is God who allows you to maintain stability. It's God and more God and every God. It is every day the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is every day the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in every moment, every time. And so in order for us to be in balance, yes, there's nothing wrong with the boat, right? This is my point. But if we get out of balance, that's always the problem. So as we look at the things and the cares of this life, it's when the cares of this life start controlling us. Jesus said that. He said it'll choke God's word out of your life. The cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches or wealth, the pleasures of this life, all of it has the ability to choke the life out of you. And so he's saying to us today, be careful how you walk. Walk in balance. Walk in balance. So God has in this second stanza, we see rescuing power. And I just want to just see it unfold just for a moment here in verse 51. Verse 51, he said, he has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has showed strength with his arm. When you was a kid, you ever try to arm wrestle your daddy? Did The only way you was going to win if he was just playing with you. I want to tell you what. In this world, you're not going to win in an arm wrestling contest with God. It, right here it said, he hath showed strength with his arm. And so my point is, he wants us to make sure that we humble ourselves. We're in reverential fear of him. That we are honoring him. I'm not talking about the fear of the world. I'm not talking about being scared. But I'm telling you, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's wisdom. It's wisdom. And I want to tell you, God's arm is strong enough. And again, he humbles the proud, but he exalts the humble. He exalts the humbled, and we need to understand his that he wants his desire to unfold in our life. For the and so may God, may his will be what makes the difference in our life. In the name of Jesus, you see, he will rescue the helpless with his strong arm, and so we rely on the arm of his strength. That's why we get here and we pray for healing. We're praying for the delivering hand of God. We're praying for the saving arm of God to reach down to where we are, because he will rescue the helpless. He'll rescue the helpless. Verse 52 says, he hath put down the mighty from their seats and has exalted them of low degree. Here it's showing us in 52. In 52, it's showing us that he will exalt again the humble. He will lift up the humble. We see it in Daniel chapter 4, where Nebuchadnezzar was lifted up in pride, and God humbled him. But we find out when we get through the end of the chapter there in Romans, I mean in Daniel chapter 4, we find where God in verse 37 lifted him back up, and Nebuchadnezzar said of God that he's the one who humbles the proud, but he lifts up also those who are humbled before him. And so may you and I grab hold of that today, that he will rescue the helpless. And then in verse 52, that he will exalt those who will humble themselves before him. Look at verse 53. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. What we're seeing here is that, again, that God will fill the hungry. God is looking for people who are hungry for him. God is looking for people who are hungry for him. Matthew 5 and 6 tells us, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness will be filled. That's what he wants. That's what he's come. That's where he turns the table upside down. He's wanting us to seek after him. He's wanting us to pursue after him, knowing that really he's our only hope. He's our only help. He's the only one that can fill the emptiness on the inside of us. And he wants us to hunger after him with all that is within us. May God help us today. I want to just draw your attention back this morning to the very beginning of this song, where Mary says, verse 46, my soul doth magnify the Lord. You see, when you magnify the Lord, you demagnify yourself. When you magnify the Lord, you take the magnifier off of yourself, off of your problems, off of the fears of this life, off of the anxieties of this life, off of the possessions of this life, off of the resources of this life. No, no, God uses those resources, but we got to remember who's the one who gives power to get wealth, who is the one who gives power to get have health. It is Him who does all of those things. That's why we don't want to forget that. He's saying, she's saying, oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord. And that's the song I want us to sing this Christmas. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, come let us adore Him. Oh, come let us bow before Him. Oh, let's come praise the Lord. Oh, let's come glorify the Lord. Oh, let's come put our attention upon Jesus. Don't let your Christmas be anything but glorifying Jesus Christ. With every gift that you give, may you add Jesus in there. And every gift that you receive, may you say, thank you, Jesus. And with every breath that you take, may you say, thank you, Jesus. With every bite of food that you eat, may you say, thank you, Jesus. With every day that you're able to get out of bed, say, thank you, Jesus. And with every step that you take, say, thank you, Jesus. With every breath, with every move, just glorify God and magnify Him. Let us magnify the Lord today. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. 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 My soul doth magnify the Lord. Will you lift your hands in this place? Say, my soul. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. And with all that is within me, bless His holy name. And forget not all of His many benefits. Who heals my diseases. Who forgives my sins. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, come magnify Him today. Would you magnify Him? Would you magnify Him? You can't speak too highly of Him. You can't say enough kind words about Him. You can't speak of His greatness enough. You can't glorify Him and magnify Him above that which He is. For He is great. He is above all.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only He can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.